Welcome everyone to the February 11th Pima of 2026 Pima Art and Community Design Committee meeting. I'm Jim Glock, hopefully your outgoing chair. And I want to welcome everyone. We will first start the meeting with the establishment of a quorum. So, Sadie, you're on.
Dia Jamil?
Here.
Adrian Ackerman?
Present.
Alicia Vasquez? Ann Lopez?
Here.
Brandon Varela?
Here.
Jacqueline Jean Barrios? Dusty Reyes?
Present.
Leanne Hernandez? Emily Tate?
Here.
Jim Block.
Present.
Janet Fisher. Lizzie Golden.
Here.
Thank you. Maureen Lewick.
Here.
Melissa Brown Dominguez. Nancy Fong.
Here.
Valerie Sipp.
Here.
Wesley Cree and Alicia Vasquez.
Here.
Thank you. And it looks like we have one more PACTC member joining us. Let me promote them to panelists so they can get in on this roll call. Leanne Hernandez.
Here.
Thank you. And we do have a quorum.
Very good. Well, welcome everyone. Item two on the agenda is introduction of guests and attendees. I'll take this moment to welcome two new PACD members, Dusty Reyes and Lizzie Golden. And as tradition calls for, or my tradition, with new members arriving, I want to quickly do a round robin and have all of our members state their name, whom they were appointed by, and a five-word description of why they're here. So I'm Jim Glock. I'm appointed by the Arts Foundation, and I'm here as a patron of public art.
And Jim, real quick, as a point of information, Wesley
Sorry.
Joined the meeting at 3:33 after roll call.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Wesley. Appreciate you coming. So I'll pick on Maureen next.
I'm Maureen Lewick. I represent the county administrator, and I do colored pencil art.
Very good. Thanks, Maureen. I'm just going to go by names on my Zoom meeting list, so I'm going to hit staff up as well as I go through the mix of folks. So I'm going to pick on Lizzie Golden as a new member. Lizzie, tell us about yourself.
Hi, I'm Lizzie Golden. I am representing Ward 5, appointed by Selena Barajas, and I'm honored to be here. My background is in architecture and exhibition design. So thank you.
All right. Thank you, Lizzie. Ann Lopez, you're next on my list.
Hi, I'm Ann, and I represent Ward 4. I'm a fabric artist and a musician, and I've had enjoyed the time I'm here. I'm looking forward to a new year.
Very good. Thanks, Ann. I have Adia next on my hit list. How badly did I butcher her name?
You got it right.
Oh, right on.
My name's Adia Jamil. I'm a fiber and textile artist.
Very good. Thanks. Adrian.
Hi, Adrian Ackerman, she, her, Aya. I was appointed by the mayor, and I am a performance artist and advocate.
Very good. Thank you. Alicia, I know you're here.
Hi, Alicia Vasquez, she, her, Aya. I'm representing District 5, Andres Cano, and I am here to serve my community.
Thank you. Brandon.
Hello, everyone. Sorry, I got disconnected. Hello, Brandon Varela here. I am the director, curator for the Old Bosco Museum. Community member in the Old Bosco community. So Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Brendan. Dusty, you can introduce yourselves to the board. Welcome again.
Thank you. I'm Dusty Reyes, and I was appointed by the Arts Foundation, and I'm a public member of the public who's interested in public art.
Very good. Thank you. Leanne, my vice chair, where are you?
Hi, everybody. Sorry to be off camera. I'm not feeling very well today, but my name is Leanne Hernandez, and I am here serving on the behest of the Ward 1. I would live here in Barrio Hollywood. I was trained as an art historian. I'm also a cultural worker, and I just believe that the way our town looks is our responsibility and as a way of us ensuring that we have representation and also that we leave something to the future that is worthy of this legacy. So thank you all so much for being here.
Thanks, Leanne. Next we have Jacqueline.
Hi, everyone. Jacqueline Barrios, representing Arts Foundation, assistant professor of public applied humanities at the University of Arizona. Do a lot of engaged work in the south side of Tucson and happy to be here.
Great. Thank you. Let's see. Lily Tate.
Hello, I'm Lily Tate. I teach ceramics at Tortolito Middle School in Marana. I'm also a painter and a singer, and I was appointed by Rex Scott for County District 1.
Great. Thank you. Lizzie? Lizzie, good hour to you.
Yeah. I'll go more in depth.
Yeah, no. Sorry. It's funny, I'm going off an alphabetical list, and then every time someone speaks, the list gets all messed up. So, or not messed up, reordered. So I'm going to pick on Nancy now. Nancy Fung.
Hi, I'm Nancy, appointed by the Arts Foundation. I've been on the board, I want to say, 4 years. Tucson native and associate broker at Long Realty.
Thank you, Nancy. Valerie Sipp.
Hi, my name is Valerie Sipp. I'm an appointee of the Arts Foundation, also Tucsonan, she, her pronouns, and I work at the University of Arizona.
Thank you. And Wesley.
Hi, I'm Wesley Fawcett Cree, and I was appointed by the city manager's office. I'm an artist, an art handler, and an art conservator.
Very good. Thanks. Hit up some staff members. Wilwin?
Hi, everybody. Wilwin Reyes. I also go by Will. Let's see. Backgrounds in sculpture and installation. I design exhibits. Also, formerly art handler. Worked with Wes for many years. I'm at MoCA. Arts advocate. And I'm here because I want to put the public in public art.
Great. Thanks, Will. And Yu.
Hi, everyone. Good to see everyone, and welcome, Dusty. I'm the Public Art Collections Associate with the Arts Foundation.
Very good. And we all know Sadie, so I won't burden her with having to introduce herself unless she has an inkling to do so.
Actually, I do have to say for the record, Jacqueline Jean Barrios did join at 3:35 after roll call vote.
Okay.
But hello, everyone. Yeah, I'm the PAC-DC administrator at the Arts Foundation.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. With that, we've got item. Do we have item two covered? Who'd I miss?
Real quick, we do have Adriana here.
Oh. Adriana?
Good afternoon, good. Everyone. Great to see you. Artist and CEO of the Arts Foundation. Welcome, Dusty. Great to have you on the team.
All right. Good to see you, Adriana. I think we have item two covered. Let's move on. Item three, call to the audience. Do we have any members of the public?
Yes, we do. Let me allow him to talk. There we go. Okay. Felix Lawrence has signed up to speak.
Okay.
Hello, Mr. Lawrence, am I visible to the committee?
As an icon.
Could you make me visible to the committee like all other participants, please? Am I visible to the committee?
Sadie?
Let's see.
Could you start my 3 minutes when I become visible to the committee?
Yeah, please? I have not started my 3 minutes.
Thank you.
Here we go. Okay, Mr. Lawrence, you're in the room now.
Great, thank you.
But we still can't see you, just that way.
What's that?
Your video's off. So.
You look your videos off. We're looking at like the screenshot or whatever of your. There we go.
How's that?
Perfect.
Great. So looking at, firstly, I hope that all the members of the committee got my emails and letters. I'm going to review one of those, the most recent letter, shortly. Looking at our agenda for tonight, we've got the election of the new chair and vice chair. I recommend that this committee nominate and elect somebody who will be a strong leader to bring the First Amendment into public art for the very first time. This committee has not yet managed to do that, and I believe a stronger leadership is necessary. I could mention one person, but that would probably make you less likely to vote for that person. So I'll just leave it up to that person to nominate themselves. Another item on the agenda is the removal of a Christian cross from a public park. I would recommend that this panel not remove that Christian cross from a public park. The cross does not represent Christopher Columbus or genocide or anything. Okay. Now moving on to the main course, I'd like to discuss the Barreras mural in Gunny Barreras Park, which was unveiled late last year. When Gunny Barreras, for those who don't know, was a U.S. soldier who was killed in Afghanistan. And when Gunny Barreras, when he joined the military, he made a moral choice. He decided that killing people is sometimes necessary and justified, and that he would be willing to do that on command. And that choice dictated the rest of his life and death. So roughly at the same time, somebody else in Afghanistan made that same choice or a very similar choice. And then Gunny traveled to the other side of the world, and the maxim, live by the sword, die by the sword, came true once again in Afghanistan. And the mural by Pen Macias honors that choice. And for a Christian pacifist like myself, that seems bizarre and offensive and a dangerous message to our children. Now, the U.S. occupation of Afghanistan was a complete disaster. Thousands of civilians killed, $1 trillion spent over 20 years. Most of that money hasn't been paid yet. But first and foremost, it was a complete failure because the Taliban returned to power. Now, we're not just commemorating a family tragedy, and we're not just honoring a nice neighborhood guy. This mural serves as government propaganda because the government wants more young people to make the same choice that Gunny Barreras made, because sooner or later, the United States is going to invade and occupy another country, and we're going to need young Americans who are willing to kill on command the way Gunny Barreras was. Now, many artists are liberal and progressive, and so without any evidence, I suspect that the artist Pen Macias is silently opposed to militarism and imperialism, but she put those ideals on a shelf so that she could fulfill this contract and please her client. And I'm sure she knows which side of the bread the butter is on. So everybody has to make compromises in their job, and I believe she did that as well. She had no freedom of expression in this project. She was fulfilling a contract. If she had freedom of expression, she may have chosen a different topic for the mural. She may have even opposed the war in Afghanistan if she had freedom of expression, but she did not. And this panel, this committee did nothing to give it to her either. So for that project, the Gunny Barreras Park.
Mr. Lawrence, your time is up.
Okay, thank you.
Thank
you. Good evening.
All right. Sadie, are there any other members of the public present?
There are no, there's no one else who has signed up to speak.
Very good. Okay. With that, I will move on to item 4, and that's a committee member activity report. This agenda item is an opportunity for members present to share with other members activities that they might find of interest to them. I have nothing on my docket to share with you this month, and so I'm opening up to the remainder of the board. Does anyone have some items to bring the attention? All right, hearing none, we'll move on to Will and the public art report. Will, you're on.
Thanks, Jim. Hi, everybody. Welcome, Dusty and Lizzie. Glad to have new members. This is our first meeting of the year, which is exciting. So my report is basically from last year, last month. So some things are a little bit outdated. As you know, we administered the Tucson Poet Laureate selection process for the mayor, and that concluded. So they're going to announce the new Tucson Poet Laureate at the same time as the state's governor's Poet Laureate at the Tucson Festival of Books. Keep an eye out for that. All of our side projects are going through really well and completing, and I won't talk too much about the artist roster call now because we're going to have a big old discussion about it in a few minutes. And projects coming up, Jacobs Park, Harris Sports Complex, Fire Station 14 is actually getting pushed back. And then a big one's 22nd Street, Community Seco to Halton. We'll have more on that coming forward. One thing you might notice is I added to the report, City of Tucson Collections Projects section, so you can see what things are active at this time. So we have the I-10, Miracle Mile, the Clement Turnkeys, and Danny Lopez Park. And I will conclude my report here. Thanks.
Very good. Any questions of Will? All right. Review and approval of the December 10th meeting minutes. Reminder to folks and new members, no need to abstain if you had not attended. The purpose is to look at the meetings and see if you find anything of particular concern and bring it to our attentions if that should be the case. Otherwise, I will entertain a motion to approve.
Move to approve.
And Lopez has made a motion to approve. Do I have a second?
This is Maureen Loic. I'll second.
Very good. We have a motion, second. Any discussion? Hearing none. Roll call, Sadie, please.
Adia Jamil.
Approve.
Adrian Ackerman.
Approve.
Alicia Vasquez.
Approve.
Ann Lopez?
Approve.
Brandon Varela?
Approve.
Jacqueline Jean Barrios?
Approve.
Dusty Reyes?
Approve.
Leanne Hernandez?
Approve.
Lily Tate?
Approve.
Jim Glock?
Approve.
Janet Fisher? Lizzie Golden?
Approve.
Maureen Lewick?
Approve.
Melissa Brown-Dominguez? Nancy Fong?
Approve.
Valerie Sipp?
Approve.
Wesley Cree?
Approve.
Thank you, and we have unanimous approval.
Very good. Thank you, everyone. With that, we'll move on to item seven. And that's an update from the Arts Foundation communications team. Are we prepared to get an update today?
Hi, Jim.
Oh, there we are.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gia Delpino. Happy New Year. I'm the communications manager. For those who are new, congrats, Lizzie and Dusty, for joining PAC-DC. I just want to quickly share some opportunities that we're hoping that you can help in spreading the good word. We just launched Saludarte for this year. The opportunity is we have a more of a grant that we're offering. We're offering $29,000, and we're continuing to focus on the same topic of substance misuse. On top of that, we are recruiting panelists right now. So if you know anyone that might be interested, or this topic is close to their heart and to their home, please send them over to Sadie's, direct them to Sadie so that she can walk them through the application process. And we are offering $500 to those panelists. So that's a good incentive. That deadline is March 10th. We have another March deadline, the 19th, and that's for the 2026 Artist Grant. This is a unique program which really empowers artists to work with clients in other sectors to realize a unique project. For example, you may, you know, we had a successful project in the past where a ceramicist worked with a family who was grieving to like create some artwork that would honor that loved one that had passed. So there's so many possibilities here, and we're hoping that you can help. Send this to artists that you know that might have clients in mind, and we're offering up to $10,000. Some other highlights from last month: there was an important ribbon cutting at Roger Road. This is a project that has been 10 years in the making, that finally came to fruition last month. And it was a collaboration with the Department of Transportation and Mobility. And the mayor was there, and Kevin Dahl was there as well. And the artist is Daniel Hornong from 20 Digit Design. And we hope that you can make it out there to see these beautiful public artworks and improvements to the sidewalk and the landscape as well. And then lastly, we also just want to celebrate an upcoming installation on I-10 and Miracle Mile. As you can kind of see from that small thumbnail, this is that mosaic artwork that's, in a little bit of disrepair right now. But thanks to local artist Paloma Jacqueline, who has refabricated all of these tiles and has essentially helped restore the original work by Gary Mackinder, who installed this in 1995. So be on the lookout for that. We're going to have like a big unveiling in the upcoming months. And then lastly, I just want to make an appeal and a call to action to all of you, especially our newer PACDC members. We would love to start spotlighting all of our members here. The public wants to know more about our processes, and we want to be more transparent, even though all that information is on our website. But we want to do something special on social media to educate the public about the important and influential work you all do. And I think it'd be great to just have a human touch and have a human face behind these decisions and these processes. So I will follow up with Sadie after this and shoot you all an email, but I hope you all are willing and able to collaborate with us so that we can honor you and express some gratitude for the work that you do, but also educate the public as to what you do. So thank you.
Right. Thank you. Any questions from the committee? Hearing none, we'll move on to item 7, the 2026 Artist Roster New Approval Process. So I believe you're going to run with this one?
Yes, I'm going to share my screen here. Can everyone see my screen? Yes, okay. Okay, everyone, the Public Artist Roster Program, we're excited to launch a new iteration of this for, it's going to be up for 2 years. Just to give you a brief update on to what this program is. It's a list of pre-qualified artists who are eligible for select projects under $100,000. So some of the program goals is to reduce the number of RFQs artists submit to each year by streamlining the selection process. Generally, we have, a handful of RFQs that go out, and some of them are less than $100,000, and all of the artists have to keep replying. So this is a process to streamline that. They will automatically qualify for these projects, and they support, just like all our CIP projects, temporary, permanent, and all art forms. And as I mentioned before, it will be open for 2 years. So in previous years, PAC-DC has participated directly in the artist roster selection process. I don't know how many of the members here today were part of that, but it seemed like all the members, we went through every application in person and voted on who ended up on the roster during that meeting. And so for the upcoming roster, we're requesting some input from our members today on eligibility and approval process, and just to see what worked and what didn't. The image here up at the top of the slide is from one of our most recent artist roster projects. Some of you may remember this is from Monique Laraway, and it was on Vinyl Wraps on the Two-Go Bikes near Menlo Park. And so this went through the artist roster program. One of the requests of input that we're requesting from members is just to determine if it should be Tucson and Southern Arizona region or be a national call. So please keep that in mind as we go through this. And some of the options that we are putting forth today is PAC-D involvement level. So option one is, as it was before, all PAC-DC members review all applications. The only difference is that this would be a little bit of a different review process, so this would be insubmittable. This means that all members would have a direct role in approving and looking through all the artists that apply. Option two is community-led approval process, and that means if no one wants to participate, then we will convene paid panelists, like outside community panelists, to do the selection process. And then, you know, all of the applicants who are approved through that process would still go through PAC-D C for a formal vote. And option three is a hybrid of the two. So if there's a handful of members who want to participate, then we can form a subcommittee, and we Arts Foundation staff can convene the remaining panelists required to complete this project. Just a little bit of estimated scope and commitment for this. As I mentioned before, previously the application process was reviewed in person, and I think it took about maybe 2 hours. I'm not entirely sure on that, but it was 150 artists from the previous roster, and that was a national call. For this, we're looking about, regardless of the process that we select, it'll be about an hour orientation for the project, where panelists will review the program goals, eligibility, and evaluation criteria. And there will be an independent scoring application review that will be around 3 weeks. And so from there, it will go through, formal process of being approved by PAC-DC members, and from there we'll launch the roster. Okay, so the discussion that we're requesting for today is input on to where the service region, or sorry, where the program area will serve. So with Tucson, Southern Arizona, which is, you know, Arts Foundation service area, or for it to be a national call, as well as level of engagement, which here are the outlined three options, as mentioned before. So PAC-DC approval process, which means it stays in-house, and only PAC-DC members will be approving the applications. Option two is just community-led, and option three is a hybrid. So I'll leave this up. If I guess Sadie, all right, yeah, we could open it to the floor, or I'll pass it back to you, Sadie, to do the, to gauge who wants to participate.
Thank you. It looks like Adrian Ackerman has her hand up.
Yeah, I guess, do we have an opportunity for questions and clarification right now?
Of course, this is a discussion.
Okay, great. So I am just curious, could you go back to the slide that shows the engagement levels detailed out a little bit more?
This one?
Yes. So in this, when under option two, the PAC DC votes on panel recommendations, am I understanding correctly? So the community members, awesome that we'd be paying them. Thanks for that. They would review the 150 or so, depending on the, you know, regional scale that we choose, and then come up with a list of recommendations, and then we would, so just essentially narrowing it down through that paid labor, and then we get the final say. And what is the process if we reject some? Do we then open it up to others? I just want to understand a little bit more about that process, if at all possible.
Yeah, that's a very good question. We're still building out the exact process, but from, you know, PAC DC, the final recommendation, like, it would be more of an approval process. So the paid panelists would be the ones going through, combing through who's eligible, who seems like they should be on the roster, and it would be, it would mirror all of like the other CIP panelists. And so similar to that, once the panelist has convened, they select the artist, it would just be a vote in, I guess, approving the roster that's already been selected.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
It does. Thank you. And then my second question was, do we envision, I know you're still working out the process, but do you envision that those community members would also be artists? Or would it be more of an open call, like for Saludarte, for example?
I think, yeah, that's still to be determined, but like all public art panels, it's a selection of artists and community members and people who have, relevant, I guess, experience to that specific project. So that all of those processes would mirror this.
Great, thank you.
And then Jacqueline has her hand up.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to clarify, what does it mean if you're pre-approved? Does that mean that they don't have to go through a process, or they automatically just get the work? Just to kind of clarify, like, how does the roster work once it's there? Or like, is it just kind of, does it just, do we?
Yeah, I could give a little bit of clarification on that. So in CIP projects where it's just like an open call, anyone can apply, and then the panelists would have to go through every single application, whereas the roster program, it's one open call, and it's specific to projects that are $100,000 or less. And so once all of these artists are vetted for, you know, they go through the selection process, they're approved to be on the roster. From there, when we have $100,000 project come up, a committee will still be formed to select like one of the artists specifically from the artist roster program.
But then, so they wouldn't even have to put in like, I would like to do this project. It's just sort of like an open.
Right. I mean, they can, if they're selected and they say they don't want to be a part of it, they can definitely deny the project. But they are, by applying to this, they are approving, yes, like they want to be part of any of these like pre-selected projects.
And typically how many people is in a roster? Because if there's like 100, does that mean that we, like a project comes up, then like, do you just kind of give it, sorry, this is like common knowledge to everybody, but.
No, these are great questions. So for example, this, the RAPS projects, that's shown here, the the selection process, I wish Ariel was, I don't know if Ariel's here, but project was, you know, their artists were, the panel was looking for like digital artists or people who can translate their artwork into digital assets and just send it off to the vendor who will print the vinyl. And then the contractors will just wrap the utility boxes. So depending on the project, it will be narrowed down to say, like, if it's like they want to see sculptures, they'll be narrowed down to like 3D works. If it's for muralists, then it'll be narrowed down to muralists. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, like, if I was an artist and I'm on the roster, once I'm on the roster, I don't really have any. I'm basically saying I'm interested in all the projects that I said I'm interested in, and so they can't necessarily put an extra application in for any other, for ones that they really want or something like that. Sure. Right? It's just okay. Got it.
I have to take a stab at this. Do you?
Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, so the roster is basically, there's no RFQ, there's no application process. They're just always accepted, essentially. Then the panel is assembled the same way we do for RFQs, and then they look through the roster's list as if the roster list was the same as the applicants for an RFQ.
Well,
may
I ask a question?
Of course.
Hi, this is Adriana. I'm sorry to interrupt. Is there, for the roster projects, can you clarify if the panel selects top three finalists that they then can interview to select the actual person they want to hire for the $100,000 opportunity? Or yes. And then secondly, my second question is to Jacqueline's point, artists can definitely apply to anything, even if they are on the roster. They're automatically eligible to move forward in the process for roster projects, $100,000. But if they want to apply for $250,000 projects that have an RFQ, they're more than welcome to submit the full application for that.
Right.
Was there a question at the first part?
Yes, the first part of the question was whether, like, if a panel is reviewing the artist roster for a $100,000 project, then do they automatically just pick one at the first onset, or do they invite three finalists that they interview, and then from the finalists they pick one person?
Yeah. So it's exactly the same as RFQs. They look through the applications. So when they apply for the roster, their applications are on our submittable portal, which is the same portal we use to for panelists to review RFQs. So we just pull that up. And then depending on the scope of the work, the same way we, if it's a sculpture, we put a call out for sculptors. And if, say, there's an artist that's a muralist that has never worked in sculpture before, we would have like an eligibility to ensure that they qualify. It would be the same situation. And we do it every 2 years. We're doing it every 2 years now so that we know everyone's still fresh and around and still lives in Tucson and interested in the opportunity.
And Alicia and Maureen have their hand up.
So I have two things. The first is, I would vote for option 3. I think it's really useful to have outside perspectives. Also kind of looking at what it is we're doing as a PACD. That also help, I think, with some of the transparency. And also it will enable PACD members to then report back to us things that worked, things that we need to rethink for next year. The second part is I actually don't know what, like, a program area is, so I would love to hear, like, benefits, cons of just being like Tucson, Southern Arizona versus a national, and like exactly what that is.
Do you want to take it, or do you want me to?
Well, I can speak to that briefly.
Go ahead.
Thank you. I've been involved with public art for decades, and the Arts Foundation and its predecessor, the Tucson Public Art Advisor, I mean, TPAC, anyway, the Tucson Pima Arts Council. The sentiment by one of the past deputy executive directors that has really become part of my credo when I look at this is that we want and have, I think, in the Tucson region, some of the best artists on the planet. And we want our artists to have the opportunity to practice their public art skills across the nation. And I think it does not serve them well if the locale that they're coming from and represent limit whom can come and pursue public art opportunities in our region. So I feel very strongly about opening it up nationwide. I did discuss this a little, my sentiment with staff, and one thing that we observed is that while in the roster process, the budgets are a little bit lower, I think what we would do to perhaps mitigate and or give things a little bit of a local bent is not allow the out of area artists to necessarily charge against the budget of the art piece their travel. So if they truly want to pursue an art piece in Tucson, their travel expenses are not something that the art the commission can cover. That's just my two bets. I have had other artists express the same sentiment to me, and I just wanted to offer that perspective to the rest of the committee so that they can consider that. I can see, I've heard salient arguments, though, to keep it local and that we do need to look out for ourselves. So I'll leave it with that commentary, but I'll be supporting nationwide. So with that, anyone else have some insights or observations they want to make in that area?
Yeah, the program area, Alicia, is southern Arizona, below, everything below the Gila River to Mexico, including the San Carlos Apache Nation.
Thanks, Will. Let's see. We have hands up. Wesley? And then Ann, and then Adrian. Wesley?
Oh. I think I had my hand up the last, but I'll be really quick.
Oh, just,
as far as sharing an opinion for this specific thing we're talking about right now, I feel like for the roster program, keeping it just open to regional or more local artists makes sense that they would have kind of more access to smaller opportunities, which would help them build portfolios and get their feet wet in public art so they can be competitive with the larger calls, the larger RFQs, which are already typically national. And I just like to think that public art is always a reflection of the people and the communities of a place. And so I like to kind of the idea of acting against homogeneity in our public art around a country to kind of make sure the public art represents the people who live in the place that it is installed. That's my thoughts.
Okay, that's great. Anne, Adrian, I wasn't keeping track who got their hand up first, so whomever speaks up first. It's yours. Anne, your mic is off.
On.
Yeah, I mean, it's on. Excuse me. Your mic is ready to go. Excuse me.
I thought I was going to say Adrian's hand was up before mine.
Okay. Adrian, you're on the spot.
Oh, well, thanks, Anne. Yeah, I think I hear your perspective, Jim, and I also just find myself agreeing more with Wesley. And I want to add that I think, you know, in terms of, especially in this moment where we are, geographically speaking, historically speaking, like preserving cultural heritage in a very like locally specific way, I think is always been important, now more important than ever. And I Yeah, I'm a strong proponent of being able to like go to different cities and see their particular flavor. And I think that Wesley made a really great point about how those larger opportunities are often available nationwide. I will say that also something that's come up time and again in like our panel approval processes on specific projects and even here within the greater committee is wanting to see, like we have several local artists that win a lot of opportunities. And so we're seeing kind of like spaces that are dominated by, you know, just a handful of artists and wanting to see more reach into underrepresented communities here in Tucson. And so I think like if that has been a goal that's reoccurring and something we're discussing all the time in our practices, then it would only make sense to keep the region smaller so that we can continue to develop the ways that we do even deeper outreach here. And then the other thing I will just say is that I also like option three. I'm going to gently push back on the idea that PACD members are not also community members in this differentiation because I think, you know, we're here unpaid, like donating our time and also a lot of us, while we may be artists in one way or fashion, are not necessarily professional artists. But I think inviting community members that are not already a part of this committee into the process would definitely give some fresh perspective. And I also will just say for anyone that hasn't, this was one of the first things I did. I feel like it was very early on in my tenure on this committee that I got to take part in the in-person process. And it was so nice to meet everyone. Like I would love to see that in-person process again. But it was also so illuminating for me. And so if we do go with an option three and it's only like three people from PACD on it, you know, I would just encourage anyone who's not had that opportunity to go through this process before to be a part of it because it's fun to learn on the back end.
Okay, thank you, Adrian. We have hands up, Anne. You still have some observations to share. Thank you.
I am very much in agreement with Jim. I think that while we have so many really wonderfully talented people in the area, when you're on a committee and you're choosing a project for a specific area, you're on a committee that's a very diverse community, and they often are more interested in someone whose ideas are completely different than ours. And I think by limiting us to Tucson and Southern Arizona, we're going to have tunnel vision. And I'm a great proponent of option one. I think it's important that the PACD committee see each other, have a chance to get a feel for what the community is. And it was, I did have the opportunity to do this the first time, and I was absolutely astounded at the variety of artists who applied.
Thank you, Anne. Brandon, you have your hand up?
Yes, Tim. No, I just wanted to give my thoughts on agreeing with Alicia and with Adrienne. Having the committee or community work with PACD subcommittee, in my opinion, I think it strengthens the relationship that we share with the community. Having that process there will lead to, I think, work that reflects or artists that can reflect parts of where they're from or even in conversation with, you know, PACD subcommittee. In that process, sort of further that art component of it. Therefore bringing in more substance from more artists and then flourishing ideas from within, and then moving forward from that. So just wanted to give my thoughts on that.
Hey, very good.
I'm sorry to take up even more space, but I just, I just want to put it out there too. I don't know, this question is to Arts Foundation staff. I'm not sure if there's an option four is possible, but I think I really love that idea, Brandon. And I'm also feeling this strong pull to like see all of y'all in person. And so if there were an option four where it could be, yes, all of us on PACD getting together, like Anne was suggesting as well, and also including community members to help promote what we do, advance that greater insight that we were hearing about as a goal of the Arts Foundation's earlier, and to just invite more people into the process, maybe as potential future recruits for the committee. That might be fun too.
I can address it if that's okay with the committee.
They will.
Okay, yeah, so we are opting not to go with that direction because of the heavy load it put on our collections person and the team, having that as our PACDC meeting, and then the agenda items that would be covered didn't have time to do it because it took the whole time. And also now that we are actively using the roster, we barely had enough time for that that meeting, which was just adding new roster artists to the existing one. This will be a full new one, so I'm expecting there's going to be probably closer to 200 or more applications to go through. So I'm just saying that I anticipate a much more in-depth process, and now that our panel processes are a lot more fleshed out than they were a couple years ago, it just takes a lot more time and energy. So I'm open to entertaining that discussion with the committee and the foundation, but I don't think it's doable at our monthly meeting.
Wasn't it a separate meeting before, like a couple years ago? It wasn't a full monthly meeting. Like it was, we came to a separate meeting at the Arts Foundation.
Either way, I think it's a discussion we can have, but I just wanted to state that it's not something that the Arts Foundation can lift all the way. But if the committee wants to meet together, I can help facilitate that and find a place and we can have meal or some other connection. But if it's about the process and meeting together in person, then we can extend this conversation.
Okay. Leanne?
I wonder if there's any flexibility, Wilwin and Yu-Yu, about the number of PACD represented in number three. Is it possible to have more than three members on the subcommittee?
I think that is allowable.
I'm sorry?
I believe that is allowable.
Okay. Thanks.
Well, okay, any other observations? That was a very good discussion. I think we kind of had two issues here, staff, Winkle in. One is whether we limit it to regional only, Tucson, Southern Arizona, or we keep it national. I don't know if we have to make that decision today, what's more important, or whether or which process we want to follow. So staff, if you could opine on that real quick, do we need both acted on today, or is it really the focus on the engagement level and input?
Or... it'd be beneficial to have input on both components, okay, of region and engagement level.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They do seem like separate issues, so let's separate them, and let's I'll entertain a motion for what's the breadth of our outreach with respect to the roster. And again, I think having a mind lets you change it. So I think some of the arguments I heard has me back off from my heartfelt feelings with respect to the fact that this is the smaller calls. It's not the larger ones. One would think that these smaller calls wouldn't attract national folks, and that we'll get the national interest with the larger calls. So maybe I'm using a little bit on my heartfelt feelings that I was expressing before. But I'd entertain a motion one way or the other so we can move on.
I'll move to keep it regional.
Okay. We have a motion to keep it regional. Do we have a second?
Alicia will second that.
Okay. Alicia seconds. Any further discussion? In that case, Sadie, can we do a roll call, please?
Yes. Adia Jamil?
Approved. It's to keep it regional, right?
Yeah, in correct. Our service region under the Gila yes. River. So that was a yes. Adrian Ackerman?
Approve.
Alicia Vasquez?
Approve.
Ann Lopez?
Approve.
Brandon Varela?
Approve.
Jacqueline Jean Barrios?
Can we do like talk more, or we have to decide?
I offered that opportunity before I called for okay. the vote.
I could come sorry. Back to you after, if you want.
Yes, please.
Okay. Dusty Reyes?
Approve.
Leanne Hernandez?
Approve.
Emily Tate?
Approve.
Jim Glock?
Approve.
Janet Fisher? Lizzie Golden?
Approve.
Maureen Lewick?
Approve.
Melissa Brown Dominguez? Nancy Fung?
So if I say no, that means that I want it opened up to nationally.
Yes. Correct.
Yes. Correct. So I'm going to say no.
Okay. Valerie Sipp?
Approve.
Wesley Cree?
Approve.
Thank you. And we do have approval.
Very good.
Oh, wait. Sorry.
Oh.
Jacqueline Jean Barrios.
Yes.
Is there a, like, abstain?
You may abstain. Abstain.
Okay, I'm abstaining. Thank you.
I believe everyone has to submit a yay or nay.
Okay.
You can't abstain unless there's a conflict of interest, right?
Not technically. Correct. Anyone can abstain, or it's not going to impact our quorum. That's why the BCC advised against abstaining. But it's basically like you're just removing your opportunity to vote.
Okay, approve.
All right. Well, thank you, folks. It's nice not having a unanimous vote now and then to know that we aren't all drinking the same Kool-Aid. Oops. Bad reference. The next item we need to act on is, and Yu-Yu, could we share a screen so I have my kind of a cheat sheet as to our discussion? I don't know what happened. I'm not seeing it. So something happened to my, there we go. Ah, okay. So the next aspect we need to move on is the engagement level. Option 1, 2, or 3. I'll entertain a motion for one of them, unless there's the need for further discussion before I call for that.
This is Maureen. I move that we approve option 3, Community Impact DC Committee Approval Process.
Very good. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
This is Nancy. I second.
Very good. We have a motion second. Any further discussion?
I guess I'm still just curious if we, if it would still be a separate meeting, right? I got a little confused, Willen. Like, it's not going to be during one of our regular.
So my again, staff, correct me if I'm wrong. It would be a separate process that then's brought back to the full PAC need to ratify.
Yes, and so we have confirmed that specific process. So if it's, you know, it can be in person, there's still options to modify the actual process. But yeah, the option three, the full pack D would be like voting on the approval of the process for selecting artists for a CFP project.
And then did we get, I'm sorry if I missed it, any clarity on whether or not it could be more than three PACD members in this hybrid?
Yes. Okay. Yes, it can. It can be. So we can all virtually, if I were to be chair at the time, it'd be a y'all come on down. So if oddly enough, the whole PACD wants to be on the subcommittee, then I pity staff. We'll do that. So.
Yeah, three is, I think, the minimum for quorum.
Yeah. So minimum of three, I think, Adrian's the best response to your question.
Got it. Thanks.
Any further discussion? All right. Sadie, a roll call, please.
Okay. Athea Jamil?
Approve.
Adrian Ackerman?
Yes.
Alicia Vasquez?
Approve.
Ann Lopez?
No.
Brandon Verla?
Approve.
Jacqueline Jean Barrios?
Approve.
Dusty Reyes?
Approve.
Leanne Hernandez?
Approve.
Emily Tate?
Approve.
Jim Glock?
Approved.
Janet Fisher? Lizzie Golden?
Approved.
Maureen Lewick?
Approve.
Melissa Brown Dominguez? Nancy Fung?
Approve.
Valerie Sipp?
Approve.
Wesley Cree?
Approve.
Thank you, and item is approved by majority vote.
Very good. Thank you, everyone. With that, we're going to be moving on to item 9, the DIA session. Danny Lopez Park, I can't pronounce it. The symbol at Danny Lopez Park. And that is Yuyu's item. So, Yuyu, you're on.
Okay, so we had the DIA session relocation subcommittee meeting. For the Perusia sign at Danny Lopez Park, we held the meeting. It was last month. Nope. So Danny Lopez Park is located between Silver Bell and I-10, between Ruthroff and Grant. And so here's a specific location marker of where it is. It's on the second entry. You take a right on the second road, and there's like a large parking lot area, and it is prominently placed right in front of the lake area. So this is the object that was requested to be removed. We have historical records that indicated the Knights of Columbus, the Tucson chapter, donated two flagpoles to commemorate the naming of the park in 1991. The concrete plinth was created to host a Christopher Columbus statue. And so you can see it was never placed on there. The dark gray area, the granite sign that's there, is what is being requested to be removed by Lucky Selway. The area was renamed to Danny Lopez Park in 2025 with support from mayor and council. Lucky Selway is the artist that was selected through our public art process to create artwork for the renovations in the park. He requested to remove the granite symbol in order to potentially install new artwork there. So the deaccession, the recommendation is a deaccession, so to remove it from city property. It was supported and motioned by the subcommittee through sustained and overwhelming public objection. Lucky Selway had gathered 336 signatures in support of the removal in order for him to pursue his public art project. The Knights of Columbus, Tom Bayham was in in the meeting, and he approved with verbal and written consent to remove the artwork. And I don't know if Lucky is with us in the meeting, but he, is he here?
He is not.
Okay. So yeah, okay. Well, then that's the update is the subcommittee recommended the deaccession and removal of the artwork.
So the appropriate action on behalf of the committee is having a motion to accept the subcommittee's recommendation. I did attend the subcommittee meeting, and Lucky did make a very touching presentation, and clearly that influenced the subcommittee's recommendation. And then knowing that the Knights of Columbus were in a position to be able to take advantage of the piece, and that it won't be demolished, it will actually be taken by them and utilized by the Knights of Columbus. So with that, Chair will entertain a motion to recommend or to approve the recommendation of the PACD Deaccession Relocation Subcommittee to deassess the Parousia symbol installed by the Knights of Columbus at Danny Lopez Park.
Move to approve. Approve the approval of the deaccession of that piece.
Thank you, Ann. Do we have a second?
I'll second it. It's Leanne.
Thank you, Leanne. Any further discussion?
I know Maureen had her hand up.
Yeah, I'm on the selection committee, and Danny Lopez is Tohono O'odham and a war veteran, and being honored by being named for, you know, the park being named after him. And so there will be Tohono O'odham symbols that are used in place of the Christopher Columbus symbol that is currently there. So it certainly makes sense to remove the Christopher Columbus Parousia.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Maureen, for that. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please go by roll call. Correct. I forgot. Sadie.
Adia Tamil.
Approve.
Adrian Ackerman.
Approve.
Alicia Vasquez.
Approve.
Ann Lopez.
Approve.
Brandon Varela.
Approve.
Jacqueline Jean Barrios.
Approve.
Dusty Reyes.
Approve.
Leanne Hernandez.
Approve.
Lily Tate.
Approve.
Tim Glock.
Approve.
Janet Fisher. Lizzie Golden.
Approve.
Maureen Lewick.
Approve.
Melissa Brown Dominguez. Nancy Fong.
Approved.
Valerie Sipp.
Approve.
Wesley Cree.
Approve.
And you have unanimous approval, Chair.
Very good. Thank you. Moving on then to item 10 is the PACD C officer election. This is the time where we elect a new chair and co-chair for the PACD C. I am never really horribly rigorous with respect to that. This, but let's open it up for nominations, and one may feel free to nominate themselves. If you are nominating someone else, I hope you've informed them of that and that they're willing. So with that, I'm opening up the nominations for chair. Dusty, I see your hand up.
Yep, just a question for clarification. How long is this position for?
1 year.
Thank you.
Uh-oh. Come on. It's not that tough. All right. Well, I'll nominate myself.
For which position?
I guess chair for now. you guys are stuck with me for another year. I would really think someone should kick me off. I'm about to fall out of favor with a few elected officials, I think, so it might be wise to kick me to the sidelines. So
we have a personal nomination by Jim for Jim. Adrian, you unmuted yourself briefly.
I did, but then I remuted.
Okay. All right.
Actually, no, I'm sorry. I'll do it. Yeah, I'll nominate myself.
Okay, I'll withdraw my nomination.
Oh.
Sorry.
Okay, so.
All right. We have a nomination. I'll close the nominations unless we hear another. Not hearing any other. We'll do a roll call vote for Adrian to be our new chair.
Real quick. So, Adrian, was that in the form of a motion to nominate yourself?
Is that how we do it? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I'll second.
And folks will have to come on the learning curve with me. I'm not as used to Robert's rules and this whole process as Jim.
Okay, thank you. Okay. And who seconded the motion?
Can I second it?
I believe you can.
Very good. Okay,
any discussion? All right, so we'll do a roll call vote for the chair nomination of Adrian Ackerman. Adia Jamil?
Approve.
Adrian Ackerman?
Yes.
Alicia Vasquez?
Approve.
Ann Lopez?
Approve.
Brandon Varela?
Approve.
Jacqueline Jean Barrios?
Approve.
Dusty Reyes?
Approve.
Leanne Hernandez?
Approve.
Lily T?
Approve.
Jim Gluck?
Approved.
Janet Fisher? Lizzie Golden?
Approved.
Maureen Lewick?
Approve.
Melissa Brown Dominguez? Nancy Fung?
Approve.
Valerie Sipp?
Approve.
Wesley Cree?
Approve.
Thank you. And we have unanimous consent.
Very good. I guess I won't turn the meeting over right this instant to Adrian. I'll see us through this particular meeting if that's appropriate. I presume it is. All right. I'll accept nominations for vice chair. And, I would like to nominate Leanne to continue as vice chair, given her expertise in that role, and can support, I think, Adrian appropriately as she moves forward with chair, if that's acceptable to Leanne. So, Leanne, are you up for that?
Yeah, that would work.
Okay. So, I'll move Leanne Hernandez as vice chair.
Second.
The motion second. Sadie, I guess you should probably administer the...
Yeah. And then who seconded the motion? Sorry.
Ann Lopez.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? Okay. Adia Jamil?
Approve.
Adrian Ackerman?
Approve.
Alicia Vasquez?
Approve.
Ann Lopez?
Approve.
Brandon Varela?
Approve.
Jacqueline Jean Barrios?
Approve.
Dusty Reyes?
Approve.
Leanne Hernandez?
Approve.
Emily Tate?
Approve.
Jim Gluck?
Approved.
Janet Fisher? Lizzie Golden?
Approved.
Maureen Lewick?
Approve.
Melissa Brown Dominguez? Nancy Fung?
Approve.
Valerie Sipp?
Approved.
Wesley Cree?
Approve.
Thank you, and we have unanimous approval.
Very good. Well, that covers item 10. Welcome, new chair and vice chair. As your outgoing chair, I want to thank the respect and support that the committee has given me over my tenure as your chair. It's been a pleasure, and happy to continue serving the Arts Foundation as their representative on the committee. With that, I'm going to move on to item 11. Any requests or additions for future agenda items? As you know, you can certainly forward them to Sadie at any time, who will then make the chair aware of that during their agenda setting meeting, which occurs a week before this one.
I don't have anything to add, but I just wanted to say thank you so much, Jim, for your service and for your leadership. We really appreciate you.
Oh, thank you, Leanne.
I just want to echo that as well, because I remember you reluctantly taking the nomination, and you've been really kind and attentive this entire time.
Well, appreciate it. Thank you, everyone. And anyone can sidebar with me with respect to my pending doghouse I'm about to put myself in, or have put myself in politically. So with that, I am going to adjourn this meeting and hopefully see everyone next month. So take care.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you.
PACD staff, if you could hang on a sec after the meeting, we can stop recording. I do want to... Adriana, you in particular.